I won't go back. Can't go back. All I need is Natalie's shoes, and I'll be just right. All right. You guys will take out your message notes. I did want to. I did forget one thing to tell you guys. Chris and Trish McIntyre have led our children's ministry for years. And they are going to be stepping down and away from that ministry for a while. And actually, Trish is in here now, but we're really proud of what they've done. We're so thankful. Yeah, we're very, very thankful. And so if you guys, get a chance to hug her, talk to her, thank her for what she's done. We baptized a young man this morning that came through the children's church. Bowen Bryant was baptized this morning. Lots of kids have come to know Jesus through our children's programs here, and so it's pretty exciting. But we'll be looking for someone else in that to help us with that area. If God is leading you in that area of children's ministry, just get with me or one of the elders, and we will prayerfully consider it. Amen? Yeah. Yes, baby. Praying in five dimensions. I looked up fifth dimension, and it's some kind of mathematical thing where it's, it goes from width to height, depth, and then fourth dimension being time, and then another one, the fifth dimension, it gets into strong nuclear forces, weak nuclear forces, electromagnetic, and all that. It's all mathematics, which is just way out of my league. And the fifth dimension that I looked up is not directly observable, which means there's no direct relation to our life, so to speak. But here's what I know. I know this, that sometimes you feel like you are being pulled in many different directions. Amen? I know, because I was there Tuesday morning. I felt like I was being pulled in a lot of different directions. And so, if this is so for you, then you need a multidimensional way to pray. You need this. And because one-dimensional praying is just boring. It's just boring. And it's ineffective. And to be honest with you, the more I find out, is it's unbiblical. And so the next couple of Sundays, I want to look at the idea of praying in five dimensions. Five dimensions. But before we get into praying, how to pray in these five dimensions, I need to give you a couple of truths, kind of review of where we've been on this fundamental basis of prayer. And let's start with this at the very top of your outline here, if you're filling these in. God is a multidimensional God. God is a multidimensional God. And in saying that is your fulfillment, my fulfillment and enjoyment in prayer will be determined by how much you and I know about God. Meaning the more you understand God, the better your prayers are going to be. The more you understand God, the more effective they're going to be. The more that you understand God, the better you understand God, the more fulfilling and the more satisfying they will be. But it starts with knowing God is a multidimensional God. All right? And there's several different ways that we can see this. And I want to write those out here. We see it. The first way I want to look at it is we see it in God's creation. We see one dimension in His creation. Obviously when you look around the world, you see a multi-dimensional world. When you look around, you see a multi-dimensional universe. And it had to come from a multi-dimensional creator. And come to find out, there's some dimensions we don't even know about. And the Bible talks about a spiritual realm. We don't know about that. We don't see it because we don't engage in it. Look what the Bible says about creation in Romans 1. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen in what has been made, so that men are without excuse. You may have never, ever, ever read the Bible, but you can learn about God by just looking at nature. You know, nature tells us that God loves variety. Nature tells us that God is organized. We know that God is creative. We know just by looking at nature that God likes diversity. We know that. We know that God is powerful. And we know that because I love thunder and lightning. I like to sit out in it when it's doing it. But it's powerful. We know that God is powerful. So we can learn a lot about God just in nature. So the Bible says we're without excuse. But to me, as I was reading even that note a while ago, to me it takes more faith to not believe in God than to believe in God. It takes more faith. I mean, there is evidence of design all around us. And a design must have a what? Designer. It has to have a designer. Somebody told me one time, and I'll never forget, and I've told y'all this before. They said, "Well, Jim, I believe in the Big Bang Theory." I said, "I'm okay with that, because even with the Big Bang, you got to have a Big Banger." So I'm good. If that happened, I believe God was the Big Banger. I just don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I don't. I know arguments, you know, both are, some would say both are speculation. Ours is more reasonable. It's the most reasonable. All this just didn't happen. I told the 9 o'clock service, how could you ride through Rockmart and say this just happened? All this beauty. Look at Job 11. Can you fathom the limits and bounds of the greatness and power of God? The sky is no limit for God, but it lies beyond our reach. God knows the world of the dead, but you don't know it. God's greatness is broader than the earth and wider than the sea. Creation shows the complexity and the multidimension of God. So that's how we know He's a multidimensional God. We also see it in this, the second one. We see it in Jesus' incarnation. In other words, when God came to earth and He became a human being, the incarnation, God became flesh. John 1:14 says, "The Word became a human being and lived among us. We saw His glory, and He was full of grace and truth." The fact that God can be God and He can come to earth and be a human being is proof that He is multidimensional. The proof is in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8 says this: "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." Now, do you know anybody like that? We're not even the same as we was last week. I mean, yesterday, I woke up with a whole tooth. Today, I have half. We change. But you see, Jesus is neither bound by space nor time. He's the same. He is the same Why? Because he's God. And he's multi-dimensional. Revelation 1:4 says, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. That includes just about everything. Who is and he was and who's to come. Jesus is multidimensional. Another way we see it is this. We see it in how the Holy Spirit moves. We see it in how the Holy Spirit moves. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. John 3:8 says this. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you don't know where the wind comes from or where it's going. That's the way it is with everyone born of the Holy Spirit. What the writer here is saying is this. You can't put the Holy Spirit in the box. It's like the wind. You can't control him. The Holy Spirit is multidimensional. Job 9, he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. He does wonders that cannot be understood. He does so many miracles they cannot be counted. When he passes me, I can't see him. And when he goes by me, I don't recognize him. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit are multidimensional. And I know you get that. I know you get that. So let's move on to probably the most important one that I'll speak to about today. Number two, because God is multidimensional, I'm never alone. I'm never alone. He's in every dimension at the same time. Every dimension. He's in the past. He's in the present. He's in the future. He's here. He's there. He's in heaven. He's on earth. He's in the spirit world. He's in our world. God is in every dimension all the time. In you, above you, around you. He's multidimensional. Even though he's one God. He's one God. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Psalm 139 says this. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I ever get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you'd be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you'd be there. If I flew away from the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you'd be there to lead me. You'd be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me. But I love this part. But even darkness is not dark for you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Let me give you a little tip just after reading this verse. Never play hide and seek with God. He is always there. He's always there. He's everywhere from beginning to end. There's no place that you've been. There's no place that you are. There's no place that you're going. I'm telling you, God will be there. You're never going to be alone. Now, what's all this got to do with prayer? A lot. It has a lot to do with prayer. Because he's everywhere, all the time, in every dimension. Because he is that way, you can talk to him about every dimension in your life. And he already understands it. I got news for you guys. God even understands Google. So with prayer, we can get practical. We can get practical because God is multidimensional. You and me certainly don't want to do a one-dimensional praying. We're only going to do two today. Like I said, there's five dimensions in your life of prayer that we're going to talk about, but just two today. We're going to do the other three next week and probably practice the prayer in communion. So if you want to be ready, if we're able to take communion. Very first thing I do as I pray. As I pray, I look backwards to the cross. I look backwards to the cross. This is the first dimension. So in a practical way, I start my prayers. I don't start them with my problems. I don't even start them up with my fears about tomorrow. I used to do that. I start with what I'm grateful for and what happened on the cross in the past. That's the way I start. If you start them with your fears, they're going to be ineffective. If you start them with your problems, you're not going to have a good time praying. Start them in the past. Start them by looking back to the cross. When you start back looking at the cross, you're going to have this attitude of gratitude. And I have that every time I think of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Because it instantly reminds me of three things. And I wrote them down there. When I think of the cross, it reminds... I tell you what might even be a good thing. When you're quiet time and you're praying, listen to some music. Listen to me. I mean, you couldn't even think about listening to that song, Can't Go Back, okay, without thinking of how much Jesus loves you. Music does something to you. But the cross, when I think of the cross, it reminds me of three things. How deeply God loves me. It reminds me of how costly evil and sin is. But I smile when I think of how completely I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. And that's the way that's a good way to start your prayers, to look back at the cross. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. He paid for you with the precious life blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Not life blood. That's that tooth talking. Life blood of Christ. And so he paid with that. And let me ask you this. How do you know how much something is worth? A lot of you guys are like me and you like to trade. How do you know how much something is worth? What somebody is willing to give. What somebody's willing to pay for it. That's how you do it. And see, you can look at the cross and see how much you're worth. Think about that. You were worth God sending his son to die for you. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become sons of God. He did what we couldn't do for ourselves. He gave his own self. That tells me that you and me are worth a lot. You and me are worth a lot. I look back to the cross. All of our sins were taken care of. I'm completely forgiven. This is a good place to start. Now, closing up here, this is the second thing I do, but I'm going to be here for a minute. The second dimension. So I look back at the cross. The second dimension is this. I look upward into the face of a loving Father. Into the face of a loving Father. This is the second thing that I like to do when I'm praying. Because I don't want to look at him like a boss. I don't want to look at him like a dictator. And I certainly don't want to look at him like a ghost. I want to look at him like a loving Father. And when Jesus told us to call him Father, this is actually real radical. Because in the Old Testament, only a couple of folks had ever called him Father. But Jesus said, wanted to explain what God is really like. He says, folks, me and you, he wants you to call him Father. So my question to you is this. Do you call God Father in your prayer? He tells us to. He tells us to. Instead of Lord, instead of Creator, in our prayer this week, I want you to practice and start with Father. Why do I want you to do that? Because God wants to be called Father. Well, you look at me, some of you might look at me and say, well, Jim, my father wasn't a very good father. I think I'd have to say, your God wasn't your father. And your father isn't your God. But the Lord God Father is a perfect and caring father. He's a caring father. He's close. He's considerate. He's capable. He's consistent. He's good. Jesus is a good, good father. So start every prayer this week with an Our Father. Jesus said start every prayer with Our Father. That's the way he told us to pray. Our Father. Jesus is serious about this. Because the way that you see God will control your life more than anything else. I want you to get that. I say this every Sunday. The way that you see God will control your life more than anything else. And the way that you see God will determine your prayers, whether they're fruitful and effective, whether they're fulfilling or not. It's how you see God. It's how you see God. If you only make one change in your life, in your prayer life, I should say, this week, I pray that you call Him Father. I pray that you call Him Father. I'm telling you, it will radically change your life. Because of what you call somebody sets the tone. I think I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, if somebody calls me Reverend Pinkard, I know we're going to have a formal meeting. So I'm trying to train even the young guys here. A lot of you guys know Noah Fisher, right? He's 2, like going on 3. Well, he's got this habit of every Sunday morning, he comes in my office. And he walks around and he touches everything and asks me all kind of questions. And this is just about every Sunday. He just walk around, he's looking at everything. And I said, what's up, Noah? He said, what's that? So last Sunday, I said, Noah, what's my name? Because the last thing I want is for the 3-year-olds to start calling me Reverend Pinker. I said, what's my name, Noah? He said, I don't know. I said, Noah, it's Jim. He said, Jim. This week, saw him out there. I said, Noah, what's my name? Oh. It's Jim. Jim. So it's Jim. Do you know why I want him to call me Jim? I want to be on his level. I want to be on his level. I want to be on his level. I don't want to have a formal meeting with Noah. God says, call me Abba. Call me Papa. I want to be on your level. I'm your dad. Call me that. Abba, Papa, call me that. And when you call God Father, it sets the tone for your prayer. I'm going to tell you guys, I've heard some of you pray. I'm just going to lay this out there. A lot of you, when you pray, you act like you're applying for a loan at a bank. I'm serious. Some of you pray, you act like you're giving a deposition to an attorney. And you're scared to death of what you just might say and might say the wrong thing. How you see God will determine how much you enjoy your prayer. How much you love spending time with our Father. He's not just your Father. Repeatedly, Jesus uses the term Daddy. Daddy. You know why? Because it's much more intimate. Romans 8, 15, 17. And I've got a typo in there. But it says, you should not act like cowering, fearful slaves. You heard that song? I'm no longer a slave to fear. That's where this comes from. Since God's Spirit has adopted you as what? Children. I am a child of God. Into God's family. Instead, by His Spirit, we simply cry out, Abba, Father. And God's Spirit affirms that we really are His children. And since we are God's child, take that nod out of there. Because we are God's child, we're also what? Heirs with Christ. And we'll share in both His suffering and His glory. This is a long verse, but really you ought to memorize this verse. It's filled with truth. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. You know what? It's easy to tell what people think about God. You just listen to the prayers. Just listen to the prayers. Do they talk to Him like He's your daddy? Do you talk to Him like He's your daddy? Do you have a family relationship with Him? Or is it formal? Or is it like you're making a speech in front of the class? This verse gives us three good points about prayer that you and I need to learn. That we need to pray like this because God likes it. And I guarantee you, when you start praying like this, you're going to enjoy praying. Let's look at it real quick. God wants my prayers to be, number one, I wrote it down there. Beside Abba and Daddy, write personal. Not just Father. Not just Father. Abba. Daddy. Dada. Papa. Papa. Do you know why most kids call their grandfather Papa? And I think it's a wonderful word. It's easy to learn. And it's a term of endearment for them. Papa. They want to say something so bad. All they know is Papa. And I want mine to call me Papa. I want them to call me Papa. Papa. You know why? It ain't about me. It ain't about me. It's about them. It's about them. They call me what they want to call me because it's about them, what they want to love. This is a term of a baby. Papa. Daddy. Jesus said that's how you're to address God. About 3 weeks ago, we had someone spoke in tongue in the 9 o'clock service. And it's really the only one that I remember. The message that was interpreted. And it was simple terms. Missy Bearden gave the interpretation and she said, come to me as a child. Come to me as a child. And she sat down. No fancy words. Just come to me as a child. If we come to God, if we come to Abba, if we come to Papa as a child, it's going to change the way we pray. And God wants us to come to Him as a child because He wants intimacy with us. Abba. You see, it's a baby term. You know, I used to love to, when I worked at Ace, I used to love to see Donnie Sutton come in with his grandchildren. They're on up in age now. They're about 13. Do you know why I used to love to hear him come in? You know what they call him? Die. Even at 13, 17, 18 years old, they call him Die. Die. Do you know why? It's all one of them could say. And now even at this age, I can see them, man. I pass them all up and down the road. Donnie drives a little Toyota truck and in the seats three and he had about four in there. All of them want to be with Da. Da. Everything changes in what we call. It sets the tone. Abba. Daddy. It changes the tone in our prayer. And when I see them kids riding around with Da, I think of that name and how simple it is. And it's crazy intimate. It was easy for the kids to learn. It's crazy intimate. They love to be with Him. See, your prayers, they don't have to be flowery. They don't have to be beautiful. They don't have to be cool. Just simple, childlike. Just what you see is what you get. A toddler never worried about making a good impression. Even a young girl did. Friday night, Lee, we was up here, and I was able to, they allowed me to sit in because Angie was speaking Friday night at the Glow. And a little girl got up and opened them up in prayer. You know what she prayed? She said, "Dear Jesus, thank you for the tacos." That's what she prayed. It was cool. Simple. And you could see then the Holy Spirit filled the place. From a simple girl's little praise, "Thank you for the tacos." Thank you for the tacos. Nothing fancy. No. "Oh, Creator, great potentate. Jesus, thank you for the tacos. Abba. Dada." God says, when you come to me like that, like a child, it's because you are my child. I got news for you. If you come to God in any other way, you don't know God. Because he says to come to me honest, like a child, unassuming. Who you're talking to sets the tone. Every misunderstanding of prayer is a misunderstanding of God. So here's your homework. Start every prayer this week with Daddy, Abba, Papa, Father. Just change the way you talk to God. I'm serious about this because Jesus told us to. I'm serious about it because Jesus told us to. And Jesus didn't come to earth for us to not use the term that he told us to use. He told us to use it. The Word says that. Now you may not feel comfortable doing that, but that is your problem. And that very well may be why you stink at prayer. Amen? So you need to grow up and start saying, "Dad, Dad." Well, it's not just personal. No, the second one is this. It's passionate, right? Passionate besides cry out. You ever notice children cry out all the time? And they don't care where they're at. They don't care whether they're in church. They don't care whether they're in a store. They don't even care whether they're in my diner or not. They cry. They cry. If they're unhappy, they cry out. They don't care where they're at. Here's what my question to you is. Are you that way in prayer? Are you that way in prayer? Are you more worried about what other people think about your prayer than actually talking to God? You more worried about what other people think? If you're more worried about what other people think than actually talking to God, those prayers ain't going to matter much. They just ain't going to matter much. It needs to be personal, but it also needs to be passionate. So put a little oomph in it. Cry out, "Daddy, help me. I'm going under. Do I take this job? Do I not take this job? Do I go out with her? Do I marry him? Do I don't get married at all?" Cry out. Cry out. "Papa, I need your help." It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to show your emotions because God is emotional. He created you in his image. You're not meeting with your CPA. You're talking to God. You can tell Denise I said that. Then the third way, we're closing up here. By his Spirit, right partnership. Partnership. Did you know this, that when you pray, the Holy Spirit actually prays with you? He prays with you. God is actually talking to himself with you about you. That sounds kind of weird, don't it? You just hang with me. Well, Romans 8:26 says this. The Holy Spirit helps us with our weakness. We often don't even know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself speaks to God for us. Even begs God on our behalf with deep groanings and feelings that words cannot express. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means this. Our Father understands that sometimes we don't know how to pray.
Excuse me, what was that again?
8:26.
Thank you.
You're welcome, purple hair. Thought you was going to Florida anyhow. Yeah, to move.
That ain't happening yet. That's not
until
later this year, unless God says otherwise.
Oh, okay, good.
You still got me for a minute.
All right, good. Thank you. I'm glad you have the freedom to interrupt, but don't ever do that again.
Okay.
But sometimes you don't know how to say it. Sometimes you don't know when you're praying, you just can't put it into words. God understands that. Any parent understands that. As a parent, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, kids come to you sometimes and they just can't put it into words. They don't know exactly what to say, but somehow you know exactly what they mean. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what they mean. You know what they're feeling. You know what that's called? Being a dad or being a mom. It's called being a parent, knowing exactly what they mean. So God don't get upset when you don't know what to say. I think some of my greatest prayers is when I just said, Abba, I'm checking in. I ain't really got nothing to say to you. I'm just checking in. Just checking in with you. And you know what I've just felt from Father when he says that? That's my boy. That's my boy. Jim, just sit down. Let's just hang out for a little while. Let's just hang out. Thank you for checking in. Here's what I want to tell some of you folks. You don't always have to be moving your mouth to pray. You ain't not got to be talking. The Bible says God joins with you in prayer. He joins with you in prayer. And that's kind of weird. God talks to God. God talks to God. Do you talk to yourself? Is that weird? Yeah. It's weird. Now, how many times have you been talking to someone and you talk to yourself about them? Is that weird? That's what God's doing. That's what he's doing. And the reason we do is we're made in the image of God. God's our Father, He's Holy Spirit, He's His Son. And so God talks to Himself about you. Every time you pray, you're not praying on your own. He says, that's my boy. He's passionate about it. And He's in partnership with us. I'll just go ahead and tell you, just so you'll know. When you come up to me after the service, and you're talking to me, I'm talking to God about you. That's what I'm doing. I'm made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. He don't always answer my prayer because you come talk to me next week too. I'm just kidding, sort of. That's all I have about today. God is a multidimensional God. We got to learn how to pray multidimensionally. I love you guys. I really do. I'm thankful to be your pastor. Let's pray. Oh, Abba. Father. Duh. You changed my life on that cross. Abba, you did something that I couldn't do myself. Thank you that you thought I was valuable enough to be worth saving. Abba, I'm glad that when God looks at me, He sees you, the goodness of you. I'm forgiven completely. I'm no longer a slave to fear. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen.